From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, brings another portion of a message entitled, Christ with His People in the House of Affliction. The miracle of the raising of Lazarus, recorded in John chapter 11, is one of the great evidences in Scripture of the deity of Christ. None but God could restore life to a dead man. Yet the account also shows us that God participates in the afflictions of His people. Few passages in the Bible give us a clearer view of Christ's true humanity, for He wept with those grieving sisters. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly, but first, in today's hot topic, he reports that in some cases Muslims are better theologians than Christians.
According to Chuck Colson, Muslims would make better theologians than most Christians. He cites an opinion survey that shows that many professing Christians can't even name 5 of the 10 commandments. How much the average Muslim knows of his religion is open to question. If you take him beyond the more radical shibboleths of Islam, he may be as ignorant as the average professing Christian. But still, Colson's observation is interesting and we should take it seriously. Colson's point is that the United States and Europe are under a twin threat from secularism and Islam. He believes that historic Orthodox Christianity provides the only real defense of these nations against the threat. Yet there's a glaring and widespread ignorance about the core beliefs of the Christian faith. I've no doubt that Colson's right. Ignorance is everywhere. The problem is, in some ways, less than he makes it out to be, and in some ways, even worse than he thinks. I say the problem may be less widespread than he reports because of how he and the pollsters, whose report he relies on, define Christian in a way that includes many whom Bible believers would not see as Christians but as lost people who need to be saved. Perhaps church members or church attenders would be a better description of many of the people in the survey than Christians. Nevertheless, ignorance of core biblical truths is a widespread problem. I said it may be worse than Colson claims, for there are truths that many evangelicals know little or nothing about, and yet according to Scripture, they are foundational truths. Justification by faith alone, the Savior's blood atonement, and union with Christ are just 3 examples of truths about which most people who sit in church week after week know nothing or next to nothing. So who's to blame? I would say that preachers are the chief culprits. Some of them have never expounded such themes in all their ministries. If they don't teach the people, it's a fair assumption that the people will not learn them. Preachers have become business executives, PR men, social directors, psychologists, entertainment agents, and a host of other things. But in many cases, they've forgotten their first calling. Many preachers spend little real time in studying God's Word. They dredge up topics from current affairs or from preachers' manuals. Those who do study often feed their people dry husks instead of the finest of the wheat. As a result, few Christians can really give an answer to those who ask them a reason of the hope that's in them. That's sad. Really sad, for it takes away one of the surest and most scriptural methods of spreading the gospel. So, what's to be done? It would make good sense to get into a church where there is a solid Bible ministry. Then read and study diligently for yourself, praying for the Spirit's guidance in your studies. Learn the truth, and then tell it around and let it abound. If to knowledge you add godly zeal, you'll be a good theologian in the best sense of the term.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. for an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
As I noted last week, Joseph Parker, the great preacher in London, said that any preacher who preaches on affliction will be preaching a message that touches a lot of people in the congregation to which he's ministering. But to them the promise of God is Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In the 23rd Psalm, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm big and strong and brave. No. Because thou art with me. In Bethany, the Lord always gives the revelation of himself. You'll see this when you look at John 11 and into John 12. But in John 11 particularly, you'll see that he gave them this revelation of who he was and what his whole purpose in life and in death was. First of all, he showed them his deity. I'm not going to take much time in this because I did somewhat deal with it out of place last Lord's Day. But in John 11:25, standing, talking to Martha outside the town of Bethany, promising that Lazarus, her brother, would rise again, and answering her statement, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Jesus said, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Now you stop and think of that in context. A few minutes later, he goes to the grave of Lazarus. He says, roll away the stone. And they roll away the stone. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. As I pointed out last Sabbath morning, do not think that Lazarus walked out of the grave. Lazarus didn't take a step to get out of that grave. He couldn't. He was bound hand and foot. The voice that commanded him to come forth brought him forth. The power of God in the Word of God, just as at creation, so now in resurrection power. The power of God in that Word not only commanded what he ought to do, but it actually effected it. Now I tell you, only God can do that, having just said, not only have I power from God to raise the dead, after all, some prophets had done that, very infrequently, but they have done so. But he says, I am the resurrection. First and foremost, he's saying, physically, when I raise the dead, whether now or at the last day, I do so by my personal, inherent, essential prerogative and power. No clearer statement of the absolute deity of Jesus Christ is imaginable than that. I am the resurrection. I bring him forth from the dead. By my own prerogative and by my own power. But you know, there's something even greater than that. I am the resurrection. Martha was looking forward to Lazarus rising at the last day. She was looking forward to what theologians call that great eschatological climax. When all the plans and purposes of God for history come to final fruition. Looking to that day when God brings together all the strands of his purpose and he produces at the very end the final and perfect result of it all. She was looking to that as an event in the future. But Jesus says, the resurrection is much more than a future event. The great eschatological climax is more than a point in future history. It is here, it is now. I am the resurrection. And all that's going to happen in the future is but the unfolding of what is already in Christ. And that life in resurrection, perfection, and glory is but the public manifestation of what is already His people's possession in Christ. I want you to understand this. He who said, I am the resurrection, says, I raise dead bodies by my own power, by my own prerogative. But not only so, I am their life. I am their life. Furthermore, I am, understand this, I am personally the great point to which all the eternal purposes of God for this universe, I am the point to which all those purposes are directed. And all the plans and purposes of God find their fulfillment in me. What a statement. Here's His deity. You know, when you're in trouble, when you are in trouble, you need more than theory. You need more than philosophy. You need a heart experience that overwhelms you with the reality, my Savior, Jesus Christ, is God. And there's nothing that takes Him by surprise. And there's nothing that's now occurring in my life that in any way is going to overthrow His purpose or ruin His plans. This also is part of that wondrous scheme known only to Him, known only to God, whereby the resurrection and the life is manifesting Himself. Do you remember that statement of Moses to the children of Israel? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. Do you realize this? Believer, when you think you're sinking, when you take the words of the 69th Psalm, which really have their fulfillment in Christ Himself, but there's times we feel something of a shadow of this. In fact, I know of a great preacher who ended up committing suicide, and in the week before he died, he was going through the 69th Psalm and didn't seem to be able to get beyond this. I am sinking in deep mire where there is no standing. But men and women, let me tell you, that's not a time to panic. It's not a time to give up. It's a time to realize I cannot sink beyond the everlasting arms. Underneath, where I cannot necessarily discern them. Underneath, in the place of deep sorrow, trouble, darkness, uncertainty. Underneath, to support, to sustain, to save, to deliver. Underneath are the everlasting arms of my Savior, who is God eternal. Oh, that we would understand that's the Lord Jesus' self-revelation to His people in the time of their trouble. And hand in hand with that, He showed His humanity and His sympathy. The eternal God, and yet true man. The eternal God, and yet bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We read in John 11:33 that he groaned in spirit. In verse 38 we read he groaned in himself. Why the groaning? Why this awful expression of deep trouble and anguish in the Savior's own breast? Well, I think if you look at verse 33 of John 11, it was when Jesus saw her weeping, that is Mary, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. Clearly he groaned because he was troubled at the tears of Mary. Do you think of that? In the midst of the loneliness and the anguish, when you feel all alienated from God and from man, the Savior is troubled at the tears of his people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.